Welcome once again, my friends, to the Party Time That Never Ends. It's Danny Brams. It's Danny Brackett. It is the Charlotte Soccer Show, MLS Roundup Edition, something brand new that we're going to get started here on the show. And what's up, Danny Brackett? How you doing, man? Welcome to our we've done this before, but I think this is the first time in the new era of Charlotte Soccer Show that it's the Two Dannys Edition, man. How you doing?
I'm good, especially after a solid draw yesterday. DB squared, double the trouble. So I'm looking forward to just dive in with you and kind of talking some footy here.
Yeah, man, it's going to be great. I can't wait. Charlotte FC, nil-nil draw, four straight Kalina sheets, as we like to call them. What'd you think? We were both in the stadium last night. What's your reaction to a draw that feels like a pretty good point when we were kind of dominated possession-wise and everything like that?
I think LA Galaxy is a really good team. So I was kind of coming into this game a little wary of them and what they could bring, especially when Ricky Puig is starting here. Gabriel Peck on the wing, who's looked good. Dejan Jovalich up top. So I was hoping for a fun game. It was a 0-0, so most people would probably say it was boring, but there were chances to win on either side. So I think we were treated to a pretty good spectacle, and it was supposed to rain the entire time, and it was beautiful skies. So very thankful for that.
I mean, we love our meteorologist friends. We love our forecasters who are out there trying to help. I'm not talking too much trash on them, but a weather forecast is never going to keep me away because I got to go see for myself. I got to get to the stadium. I got to get outside and see what it's actually like. Turned out that it was beautiful. Absolutely awesome night. It couldn't have been better of a night, to be honest. And we got lucky, I guess, because there were storms that kind of were headed our way and then moved north. But no storm of goals, unfortunately. I am that soccer sicko, if you will, that actually enjoys a good 0-0. And I really enjoyed that match last night because my heart was in my throat many times. I mean, they had a lot of scoring chances. Kalina saved us a few times. As far as Charlotte FC goes, I am still, when I say Charlotte FC, I'm saying us because this is the Charlotte Soccer Show. We're going to keep doing what we've always been doing. Want to thank a few of the folks who've already jumped in the chat here live, and we want to see a little more of that. But this is also the new era of the Charlotte Soccer Show. We've expanded the crew. It's Johnny and I started this thing, and we have been fortunate enough to be friends with you and Matt on the full-time roundup show. And we want to bring you guys into our crew and just so like, you might turn on a Charlotte Soccer Show episode. You may never know who it's going to be. We're growing the crew. It's like more of a sort of a collective, for lack of a better term, as far as people who might see. Kind of modeled after one of my favorite podcasts, the Handbreak Off podcast, which is an Arsenal podcast done by The Athletic, where you never really know who, like you turn an episode, it could be a completely different composition of people. So we're going to throw some surprises, but we're calling this one the Two Dannys. Shout out to the two Robbies. And very cool. And already we've got IVM who says he or she, I don't know who you are, IVM, but loves seeing everyone. Exactly. It's all about the people. And how do you feel to be one of the two Dannys, Danny?
Honored for sure. And I wanted to give you a nice shout out. You got me a ticket for the match as I split season tickets with someone and they had this game. And I was on the fence probably 20 minutes before about going, and you sent me a text, hey, get to the stadium right now. And I made a game time decision and got another ticket for my lovely girlfriend. And we walked in right as kickoff and were treated to a wonderful match with great people. So shout out to you for the ticket. And I'm glad you kind of talked me into going.
Yeah. I mean, contrary to reports, I am a pretty nice guy for sure. We got a lot to talk about. Like I said, it's a new era in the Charlotte Soccer Show. We're going to focus on Charlotte FC here at the start of this episode and probably most episodes that I'm on because I'm still a Charlotte FC guy, but I do love the game as a whole, and I love MLS as a whole. I would be a huge MLS fan even if Charlotte FC didn't exist, so I'm really looking forward to a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about four Kalina sheets on the spin for Charlotte FC. We're going to talk about Toronto had a great victory in the Canadian Classique up at home against Montreal. Bernadeschi debuted the new hairdo and had the hat trick. You got to love that. We're going to talk about the Rocky Mountain Cup. It was an insane match, a 5-3 win for RSL against Colorado after they were twice down two goals, and then they scored three in the final after the 85th minute to win. Absolutely insane. We'll show some highlights there. And we'll, of course, break down standings, and we're going to look at the tables in the East and West. And how about this? I got a little crazy, little bonkers conspiracy theory that I'm going to bust out on you, Danny. You have not been briefed on what this might be about, but I just said, I got a Miami conspiracy theory. I can't wait to go through it with you. So we're going to get to it all. Just so many thanks for everyone who's here in the chat. And yeah, Charlie Dunbar, he knows what time it is, baby. You know, two Dannys are already better than two Robbies. I don't know about that, but we're certainly going to do our best. We're going to start with Charlotte FC because it's near and dear to my heart. And before we even get to last night's result, which we're going to talk about, we got to talk about what happened today, right? Which is all of a sudden we learn from good friend of the show, Tom Bogert. I assume he's a good friend of the show. He's never been on yet. But Tommy B says, hey, by the way, Charlotte FC is in talks regarding Marco Royce. We have his discovery rights here in Charlotte. I guess we discovered him along with everybody else when he was coming up through the ranks for the German national team. But what do you think of the idea of maybe Marco Royce coming to Charlotte so that we can start scoring some goals here?
Tommy Scoops, once again, made my Sunday. And Marco Royce, I was actually watching him on Saturday at his farewell game for Borussia Dortmund, scored a wonderful free kick and had a nice assist as well. And he's, you know, one of the most famous and most well-respected Dortmund players of all time. And, you know, he is mid-30s, but this guy still got a lot of legs left.
I got late 30s on. I got to say about to turn 36 on turf. That's late 30s to me, but.
That is correct. But, you know, from what I saw, he almost went the full 90. He's still got a lot left in his legs, and he can unlock defenses. And he's been doing it in the Bundesliga for a decade plus, and I think he'd be a great addition.
I don't know, man. For me, it seems it's a little bit like gimmicky to me. I mean, I know he's great. I know he had a good season. He was still doing it with Dortmund this year, and they, you know, had a big farewell to him. But, you know, you look at guys that clubs are letting go. You look at Breck Diagra. You know, Johnny always made the great point that FC Toulouse was like, go have fun, Breck. Like, you know, if other clubs aren't trying hard to sign these guys, then we should not necessarily be the ones signing them. I do, in my mind, I just think he could definitely help, but I just would like to see the resources spent elsewhere. I actually, you know, hope I'm not giving too much away. I brought this up before, but I actually, ahead of the Nashville game, I was there on the field and I saw Zoran and I just couldn't help myself. This was before Tommy B's report ever even came out. And I said, said, Zoran, have you called Marco Royce's agent? You know, are we bringing in Royce? And he just kind of, he had a little glint in his eye. He said, no, it's too expensive. We don't want to pay that price. So who knows? But we do have his discovery rights. I want to thank Abram Kuchecki, a great, tremendous friend of the show, who says, can you explain what it means to have his discovery rights and when would we have acquired them? I can't say when we would have acquired them, but I can tell you, Abram, that discovery rights are basically like calling dibs. It's like dibs on this player. And they're supposed to be for like young players, like in the country, you know, they're supposed to be for like players that no one's ever heard of. But, you know, because MLS is a retirement league, according to some, there are some of these older players who end up like coming in, like in one way or another, a team sort of is the first one to call dibs on this guy. And it's like, all right, so we have right of first refusal to sign him. Basically, no one else could sign Royce unless we decline the opportunity to do so. Is pretty much how that works. There's probably a few more technicality things, but, you know, when it comes to discovery rights, it's kind of like calling shotgun. You know, me and my siblings growing up, we had different rules. Like, does everyone have to be outside the house before the shotgun call can be
visual made? Of a car is the rule.
Yeah. Visual of the car. Okay. I like that. So I don't think it's going to happen personally. Chief Kiefer in the house. What's up, Keith? I don't think he'll come to Charlotte anyway. Yeah. We'll see. We just, cause we have his discovery rights, he would still have to agree to show up. 100% still has enough for MLS for 2 years, says Johnny Woodard. And I like that take, Johnny. I'm always here for pushback. You can definitely challenge me because I'm not always right. You know, I just like to say things sometimes. And that really, and Johnny points out again, that's the big scoop, if you will, as far as the reason it was news today is because everybody thought that St. Louis had the discovery rights, but Tom was able to clarify that it is Charlotte. So we're in talks. You know, what does talks mean to you? Like, you're lucky enough, you have a lovely girlfriend. You already mentioned her once on the show, but like, sometimes you're in talks, you know, you're not really like dating someone. You're not committing to anything. You're just in talks, right?
I mean, when Zoran said it was too expensive, I thought that was interesting just because he'll be on a free. So there's no transfer fee involved there. So it's really just the contract.
Wages though, baby. The wages, you know.
I mean, if he's on a DP contract and, you know, the richest owner of the league, maybe you can shell up you know, the cash to be able to afford a contract like that for 2 years, maybe with a third year option here. But I don't know. I see that Zorin has a lot of, you know, European connections. So I think we should definitely be in the race. I think St. Louis with, you know, their front office and Roman Berkey being right on the squad already has just an equal opportunity of a destination for him, or even San Diego, the new team coming to California, could be a potential landing spot. So, I mean, I hope so. We need some quality in the final third, and I'd be more than welcome Royce. He couldn't take number 11, but he could take another good squad number here. And
number 9 is now available.
Number 9 is available. So maybe a false 9 for Marco Royce, but I'd love to see it personally.
All right. Well, you'd love to see it. I'll buy that. Chief Kiefer chimes in. Wouldn't want a 34-year-old to be one of our DPs as much as he loves Royce. I got bad news for you, Keith. He's 35 and I think turning 36 fairly soon. So, you know, and we'll keep talking about it. Edward Hart says, Marco or not, ready for a goal scorer this summer. I completely agree. We do have two DP slots that need to fill. And if it's Marco Royce, I'll certainly be happy, but I don't know for that. But we'll definitely get something for the discovery rights. That's the thing. It's like, that's kind of why you get the discovery rights. It's risk-free. You know, you can then trade those. I don't know if you can just sell them straight up or trade them for GAM or TAM. Again, not my circus, not my clowns as far as the MLS salary intricacies. I'm sure there's plenty of sources out there that you can go to for that. But you come here to be entertained and to smile and to laugh, hopefully. And we do have some games to talk about. We're going to talk about Charlotte FC. Were you entertained by a 0-0? I actually was. I mentioned it earlier. I think there was a lot of good things going on, and Cali, you know, somehow was not man of the match. That was probably the most mind-blowing thing of the whole night.
Very surprised on that, no doubt. I thought, and Johnny said this really well in our group chat, you know, Ricky Puig was the price of admission here. I mean, I just love a good footballer, especially in the middle of the park, and I had my eyes on him all match, and he was just the conductor of LA Galaxy and everything they did. And mm-hmm. I was interested to see if they could break down our solid back line. And the answer is they did not. So it was a fun game. It was a fun game, but you know, we definitely could have had some goals here. 1, 2, even 3, if I think about it. But still a great game nonetheless.
Yep. And you mentioned Puig. I just popped up the SofaScore rating sheet for everyone that was a starter in this game. I don't have the subs up here. Sorry for that, y'all, but you can see Kalina as an 8.1, just with some just monster killer saves. That's a great rating for a goalkeeper. And then Ricky Puig, an 8.3 with no goals or assist score. That's absolutely insane, because the ratings don't really go that high usually unless you have some goal contributions. So that's just a testament to everything that he was doing. I can throw some stats at you, which are 134 completed passes out of 147. That's 91%. Only one chance created, I think, which is and it was a big one, but it was only that one. I think we're going to look at it in a second here. That was nice to see. Never had both of his shots were blocked by outfielders. So we did a good job of limiting his danger, but we did not do much in terms of limiting his production. You know, like his dominance on the ball, at least the 130 some passes, just absolutely insane.
And the person I was sitting behind was just talking about, look how deep he's doing the deep playmaking role, and he's a number 10, but he was kind of picking up the ball from the center backs and then kind of starting the attack mm-hmm. every single time from there. So it was really interesting to see him be like a one-man army in the midfield against us. But, you know, Ashley Westwood, Diani, as well as Brent Bronico did a great job stifling him for as much as we could.
Yeah, and I think the defense was strong. The defense was inspiring. And Privet ended up being that man of the match, and I have no beef with that. I thought Privet was great, obviously, also. It's tough. We're going to look at the Kalina saves. We're going to look, give me a second here, because I'm actually building a graphic here as I talk. So if you have anything to say, please chime in. But I just want to show, because you mentioned Puig, like where he was playing on the field, and I did not prepare this before the show, but I do aim to please. And if I can quick crank out a graphic, then I'm going to here while people bring it up. So let me show you what Puig's heat map, said. And it's pretty damn impressive. You got to love it.
Now let's see it. The one caveat that I saw for the LA Galaxy was their goalkeeper, 22 years of age, Serbian kid, one of his first games of the season. So a disappointment for me is not testing him more. Sure. But yeah, you know, that's really the only
like to get some shots on goal for sure. But here's Puig's heat map, dude. And just, I mean, just look at this. It's absolutely just pure red. It's like just red all over the whole middle of the field. Box to box midfielder is exactly what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I mean, he's everywhere, and the guy had iron lungs because he did not stop the entire game, and only one key pass really surprised me. I thought he had a little bit more, and I thought he put his players or teammates in really good positions at times, and they kind of let him down.
Yeah, I think John mentioned we were talking just kind of after the match before we started this show today, this episode, and John was like, he was like, I don't know what I enjoyed more. Was it watching Ricky on the ball, pulling all the strings, or was it watching him just yell at all his teammates for being completely incapable of keeping up with him? So it's pretty funny. We got lucky. The other thing is one of LA's DPs, Jerome Paintsill, was not available. And
Thank goodness. He's
on the pitch last night. That probably gives them maybe that edge that they might have needed to pull through. Another great comment from Johnny Woodward here. When you have a full-size lungs in a child's body, you can run all day. That's, you know, hey, we're not trying to body shame here, but that is kind of a funny joke. Casey Williams chiming in. Welcome, Casey. Thanks for being here. As I watched Puig, all I could think about was when do we have a top shelf creative attacking mid? I agree. Like, we need someone like that. If we could find someone like that and bring him to Charlotte, I know we're not Los Angeles, we're not New York, you know, we're not Chicago, but you'd think someone like that would be available to us. Maybe not a Barcelona Masia product, but somebody that's got that type of talent at a younger age, right?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there with Paintsill. Him, Puig and Paintsill's relationship this season has just been magic. And he's been the guy who's been putting the ball in the back of the net for them from those key passes. And it kind of fell on the shoulders of the new DP, Gabriel Peck. And, you know, he missed a few sitters there, in my opinion. Yeah.
Thankfully, most definitely. We're going to play. Let's hear what Dean Smith thought about how the team defended Ricky Puig, and I want to get your reaction to that real quick.
When you haven't got the ball is probably when you need to see your shape and make it really difficult for the opposition to come inside you. And I thought we really did that well today, because Puig is, I've watched him play over the years. He could probably still play for Barcelona. And, you know, some of the moves he makes when he runs with the ball, you know, it was always going to be a threat. So to defend the inside of the pitch as well as we've done today was really, really pleasing.
Absolute nightmare to defend. It's basically, I mean, Dean Smith probably was thinking since the Wednesday game, how do I stop this player? It's kind of like stopping Messi in a way. You just try to limit his touches as much as possible and don't let him touch the ball in the final third. And coming up with that game plan is not the easiest thing in the world. That's why I think we went with the Bronico, Westwood, Diani midfield trio. More defensive-wise, it seems like when we play better opponents and we're not going to have as much as the ball, Bronico usually gets the start there. And so I think it worked out. But then again, we didn't offer much of an attacking threat because of that at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. And we will get to the lack of attacking threat in a moment. I do think Bronny was the right guy. I love to see Bronny on the pitch. I don't always love to see Bronny at the end of our promising attacking moves. I do think he can cook in the final third. I got no beef with him, but there's other guys that I probably would rather prefer some shots fall to. That said, props to Bronny for taking a few shots. Again, I don't mean to turn this whole thing into we're gonna, but we are gonna talk about that in a second. I do feel like at this point, though, it's time to talk about the Kalina performance, because Kalina's saves were absolutely amazing. And I believe this was the big chance created for Puig, this first one. So, like, that, I think that was a pass from him. I'm not 100% sure, but we watched this. What a ping. Okay, yeah. And that's, oh, that's a nice save. That's a real nice save.
Reaction save. I'm not a goalkeeper, never could be, never wanted to be, but, I mean, he showed up today.
Yeah, and then here in stoppage time, two big ones. That ball's curling in towards that near post, and it's a nice dive from Kalina. Not the best save of the night, but it was a pretty nice one. And then this one here, this is the last action of the match. We're already a minute past the announced stoppage here, but they got a corner, so we gave it to him, and oof, off his line, you know, just off his balance, and he just found a way to, like, just get a hand on that ball. Just absolute game, match saver, point saver there, because Yoshida could have buried us for sure.
I love the dramatic jump too. It felt like it was right there for him, but he really wanted to make it worth everyone's.
See, I think he got caught off balance a little bit. I don't think he's sandbagging here in any way. I think he's just kind of like, he just kind of missed. I think his footwork was a little off, and then he had to jump to sort of prevent a disaster.
Hey, but at the end of the day, he saved it, and that's all that matters. Saved the point for us, and you know, I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, let's listen to Kalina and Dino post game, what they thought about that performance.
Yeah, for me, the most difficult ball, maybe it was this deep ball when I clear with the head, then these two, okay, from free kicks, it was okay. And second one, okay, it was nice save in the end of the game. Very important for me, another clean sheet. I think my defense played very, very well on high level. Even when they get some opportunities, they block fantastic. They stop Jovic in 2-3 shots. And it's much easier for me this season than if I will compare with the last two seasons.
A calmness. You know, he's a calm goalkeeper, and he does the basics really well. And that's what you want from a goalkeeper. Keep the ball out the back of the net. You know, if it's coming near you, then deflect it over, you know. He'd have been disappointed with that one in the first half if that had dropped in, because you know that was probably a bread and butter save for him. You'll probably ask me what a bread and butter save is, right? It's just like a normal save, you know. And the one at the end, there were good saves, but ones that I would expect him to make as well.
Honestly, this is the from the coach. Like, he put this tactics, he put this shape, and it really works. And everything is from him. I cannot change my, like, if we will go to high press or low press, he make decision. But I think how he prepare from the start of the preparation till now, our team, I think the whole team play a really good defense.
You got to love it. Giving the credit to Dino, and Dino giving the credit right back.
Got to love it. And I completely forgot about him coming off his line and have a nice little diving header there. That is,
I was looking for that one. It wasn't in the highlight package, sadly. I would have put that in the rip though, for sure. Yeah, my fault. I just don't want to cut any. I don't want to go find. We've been kicked off by Apple before for showing things that aren't part of their official highlight packages. So I was just trying to play it safe. But that might have been the best moment for sure too.
In last season, Kalina probably isn't doing that. One of my biggest gripes with him in seasons past was his hesitancy off the line. And showing, you know, that was a 50-50 play there. You didn't know if Milan or Pro were going to get there. You didn't know if the striker was going to get there. And he acted first, and it ended up saving us from that attack. And, you know, can't give Kalina enough credit for that.
Totally agree. Thanks, Bridget McCall, for checking in. I think she's talking about that header play. He scared me, but he made it happen. And she's the mother of a goalkeeper, so she should know, you know. Yeah. We liked it. We liked it a lot. And he said he's been working on his timing this season. And clearly, Dean, that's just like, that's the Dean Smith effect, right? It's like every little thing is that much little bit better. And when we say Dino's at the wheel, it's because Dino's at the wheel. He's not, you know, he's not just teaching, developing young players. He's making the veteran players that we have better as well, just by incremental little things.
And it's all about confidence for goalkeepers. And it seems like Dino's installed a lot of confidence in Kalina, and I think we've seen it with four clean sheets.
Yeah. I know it's tough to get excited about a game where you didn't score any goals, but to be unbeaten in four straight, especially after we just got roadhoused by Minnesota, you know, before that streak started, it's pretty nice. I can't complain. And if they don't score, we can't lose, right? That's the thing. Last night was the perfect example of that. I think I stole that line from Steve Goldberg. So credit to him, one of my favorite peeps on the scene. Now, speaking of scoring, though, we do have to take a look, because we needed to score some goals. We had some chances. The first half was kind of like park the bus. It was kind of a weird game, because it was like park the bus first half and then open up in the second half. Dean Smith mentioned that, but what do you think about the way that some of these chances fell here now as we start to look at them? Because Bronny, that was a great pull down by Diagra right there, by the way. He didn't have a good game, but that was a nice moment. And then Bronny, I mean, that shot, that could have gone in. Another day, that goes in.
Can't be mad about that one. I can't be mad about that one. Now, this one maybe is is more up for date. What a run by Privet here.
Yeah, Privet just made, that might be the run where he made man of the match for sure. Here, it looks like he's got Ajumong as an option there, and he just like, oh, Danny, that reaction is rough.
He's just leaning back a little bit too much with the hesitancy there, but I like him being willing to pull the trigger, and then the Tiger Small is here. Man,
got to be on the target.
He saw the headlines flashing. He was ready for it. And
yeah, I mean, credit to him. You know, first MLS goal for the Super Draft product, all that. You know, I'm just going to play these clips again, and you can just comment however you like on any of them. But, you know, I've got a great comment from Casey Williams teed up there as well, just talking about how great Dino has the Dean Smith effect. But, yeah, this is a great run from Privet, and he even took the shot on himself. I mean, we love Andy Privet. I mean, it's just absolutely insane.
I mean, he was a goal scorer at Penn State, so he still got it in him, it seems. And a lot of our best chances came from when our defenders went on long runs. João Pedro went on a couple runs. Even Milanda went on a run or two. I liked what I saw with the fearlessness, but you got to put this one in the back of the net.
Yeah, with Tiger, it's not the best ball from Westwood either, obviously. Like, you can see, like, Westwood's ball is kind of off, but it confuses the defender enough to create a rebound that that's not Westwood, is it? That's
Petkovic.
That's Petko. Like. Yeah, excuse me. That's Nico. My bad. But yeah, so not the best ball from Nico, and doesn't matter though, because Tiger pounces, and I just wish he had gone. Like, you look at like how much open space there is.
Yeah.
It took a tough bounce. Credit to this defender who came back and did sort of make him think about it with a sliding challenge. It's still a little bit too late, but I mean, going near post there when the far post is just so wide open. The goalkeeper, the 22-year-old that you mentioned earlier, did make himself big there, and we don't hate that. But man, that could have been a winner. That could have been a glorious winner for sure.
And that's kind of what Tiger does best. He's a freak athlete. He just runs at defenders fearlessly. Now, I think Dino's definitely working on the final product with him, but I've liked what I've seen so far in the season. I'm liking that he's getting chances, and you know, him kind of getting the nod over Yuri Tavares as of late has been surprising, as Yuri has put the ball in the back of the net. But you gotta love what Dino's doing.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, I'm not sure. Sometimes Dean Smith seems to move from like one young player to the next. You know, it was in preseason it was Nympha, and then early this year it was Yuri, and then the focus kind of switched to Tiger. I'm fine with developing all of them. I wouldn't want no young prospect left behind. To coin a phrase, for sure is great. We've been on Charlotte FC now for about 30 minutes, and we want to commit to this, you know, wider scope and talk about some other things going on in MLS. We thank all of you who are here watching and stay with us. Let's give the last word to Dean here, just sort of his overall thoughts on the performance. And then you'll give you the last word, Danny, just tie on a bow in it. But here's kind of Dean just on the overall everything of this match.
I thought first half defensively we were excellent. I thought our game plan was to make them play around us, which we made them do for quite a lot. I think the final third summed it up again for us a little bit. You know, when we managed to get ball, or we ended up with a counter attack, we never connected that pass, or our qualities crosses went too often into the goalkeeper's hands or in behind. And then second half it opened up a little bit more, and we went a little bit more aggressive, and BB's had a couple of chances. I thought he played really well as well today, and then Tigers had a big chance as well. But they had one just before on a counter. I think we lose the ball, and it's a transition, and Pooja, who's a top player, you know, I think he puts the lad in, he slips it wide. So all in all, I thought it was a really good game. Interesting, you know, but no goals.
Interesting, but no goals.
Yeah, I thought his comment there about, you know, same stuff, different day when it comes to the lack of the final product. Maybe that was a little elbow there for the front office. Hey, let's go sign some guys here in the summer. But I feel like if we can get, you know, Abada back healthy and we can sign one or two players on the attacking side, then we're going to really see Charlotte FC kind of climb up this table even more, because we figured out the most difficult thing, defending. Now it's just about putting the ball in the back of the net consistently.
Yeah, and no, all much love to Tiger Smalls. This is not a knock on him, but imagine if that's Abada that chance falls to
someone
who's a little more clinical. You got to think he's putting that in the back of the net one way or the other. So no goals in Charlotte. four Kalina sheets in a row. We're going to look at how that affected the Eastern Conference standings. But first, we got to look at another Eastern Conference game that I wanted to focus on today that had plenty of goals. Plenty of goals. The Canadian Classique, as they call it. This is Toronto-Montreal rivalry. 5-1 win for Toronto. Montreal is just in a shambles. Toronto's actually, like, when we were playing Toronto earlier this year, we kind of projected them as one of the lower teams in the conference because they just had so much dysfunction around Insigne and Bernadeschi not wanting to be there, and they only beat us by like a wonder strike in Toronto. We beat them here. So we should be feeling pretty good about a team that can do this. And I'm not going to show all five goals here. I could have, but let's just focus on the Bernadeschi hat trick as well as his new hairdo. He's got the tight, tight braids and he made him work for him for sure. Watch this. I mean, this is with the left. Real nice.
That ball, whoever played that ball to Bernadeschi, what an assist that was. Gave him way too much time on that left foot. You cannot let him cut in there. Just disappointing defending from Montreal.
And imagine a derby match.
20-yard gap right there. I mean, what's going on?
A derby match, you're down 2-0 after 15 minutes, and it's just like it's real tough to come back from, and Toronto just continued to pour it on.
No doubt.
Look at the angle. Look at the tight angle on that. Just absolutely incredible. And he's loving it. Like, this is a guy who has made us pay in the past, last year especially on those windy corners. But here it looks, he's got the ball here. What bad could happen from here, right?
That. Hey, put the ball in the box and good things happen. Prince kind of plays a decoy run there, and it just happens to curl in.
When I see goals like this, I'm like, why don't we ever score goals like this in Charlotte? It's just like, it seems like we have to work so hard just to get half chances. And like, he's just creating wonder goals out of nothing, out of being isolated on the wing. Again, too much space.
Yeah. He's one of the better players in the whole league. That's kind of why we don't have one of those, unfortunately, as of now.
Fair enough.
Attacking wise.
Fair enough. Are you inspired by the hairdo? Are you going to go get some tight braids of your own?
I don't think the family would approve of that, but maybe never say never, Danny.
Yeah. Never say never. And then just, you saw he started the play there with the tackle in midfield, and then he follows it up and then boop, all of a sudden he's there.
That's what's happened.
Yeah.
And then he does a nice one, two, three. I love that little celly from him. And then Matty Longstaff as well gets a goal.
Roofed the hat over
from England, who's been phenomenal as well for them.
It's too easy for a guy like this. And the defense doesn't help themselves out there much. But credit to you got to love. And Etienne Jr., the former Atlanta man, making an impact there for Toronto. I'm kind of glad that we've got Toronto in our rearview mirror from a Charlotte FC perspective at this point, because
cannot agree more.
To get 4 points or to get 3 points out of two matches against Toronto when we probably should have had four is not that bad.
No, no doubt. No doubt about that. And it also just is more of an indictment of how bad Montreal are as well.
Yes, agreed. Montreal is a shambles. I can't wait to play them. But we'll just what do you think about Toronto? I'm going to play these goals one more time and just let the people enjoy all their glory. We got a great comment from Lad on Fire, one of my favorite commenters, who says, we just don't have a player that can switch the ball like whoever got Berna in there. I mean, I'd like to think there were some spots I thought where Vargas was wide open on the wing, and I was like, man, just switch the ball over to him. So I kind of tend to agree with Ladd in there. Like, I don't know. I would love to see this type of attacking verve come to the Queen City.
I have a player who I have liked a lot from what I've watched of him, and he's fearless with these kind of passes, and that's Pekovic. He's the one who played that ball. It wasn't a great ball, but still Tiger Smalls gets on the end of it. I thought he completely changed the trajectory of the match when he came on, and
I agree.
We started going, we started like getting into the final third a lot more, and he can play those progressive passes as well as create those chances. So for me, I think Pekovic should start every single game.
When I'm looking, I'm not going to call that a hot take. I'm going to call that a bold take and one that I probably agree with. When I look at this, like when I see, if Charlotte FC is in this position, right, I don't see this pass going all the way wide out to the wing. I see like if the pass would probably go like right there, like we would take three passes to get the ball over there. And that just might be coaching. That might be style. But that's what I see. Charlotte's like, when you play basketball and you're just like, around the top of the key and you're just like swinging it atop of the key and stuff like that. Like that's kind of what Charlotte FC kind of plays station to station with their passes, and we really don't see a ton of those long cross-field balls that can lead to goals like this.
I mean, Westwood does it all the time, but he's got to have help from his other midfielders. I'd like to see Diani play those, you know, diagonal balls a little bit more. Bronico likes to dribble more and full steam ahead, but I'd like to see more from our midfielders in terms of playing those long diagonal balls to get Vargas or Abada or whoever else it is into space, because the space is there more than not for Charlotte FC when they're going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have space. So Toronto looks really good. Let's see how that affects the race in the East here, because we see Charlotte FC dropped a spot down to sixth with the draw. A lot of teams moved up. I think Toronto leaped over us there with the 3 points from the win. But we have Charlotte FC has a decent record against a lot of these teams. And I think we have 3 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses against teams currently in the playoffs. And we host Philadelphia on Saturday. So big match coming up. But what do you see just from the East in general, not even necessarily from a Charlotte perspective, when you look at the East?
I'm looking at, after Columbus, there's a 4-point gap there between mm-hmm. Columbus, Philly, and DC. And so,
and Columbus has a game in hand also, so they could even jump up, you know.
Exactly, and so does Philly. And Philly has been bad as of late, but they did get a good victory last night, and they do play us. So if we can beat Philadelphia next week at home, then we just, you know, increase that gap a little bit between us and them, and we kind of keep those playoff spots safe, and as well as kind of catching up with New York City at 23 points. I would say from third to ninth is very open. And so we need to win the home games, and we need to grab a couple more games on the road, and can't speak highly enough of, you know, that win on Chicago on Wednesday night for that.
Yeah. When you can win ugly like that, it can definitely help. Now, obviously, if you look at the last five on here, you probably tell that everything is accurate on this page, except for that last five chart, because it hasn't really updated with last night's results. But Philadelphia did get that win to finally, you know, their first win in 6 matches now, as you can see, against a 10-man New England side. So, like, New England got an early, early red card and then was struggling to stay in the match after that. So I do think, like, Philly's not quite, fixed all their problems, and I think it's a good time for Charlotte to get to play them. I see Nashville trying to climb up after they had been down near the bottom, you know, firing Gary Smith, maybe worked for them. They pulled the draw against Atlanta. I love to see Nashville and Atlanta down there. And New England is just hopelessly gone. I think Caleb Porter is a strong candidate to be the next manager fired in MLS. So I'm not guaranteeing that, but I just think he's a strong candidate. DC United kind of floating, doing not a whole lot. Orlando did go out, and I think they got Orlando got a win last night on the West Coast, right?
Draw, so maybe, but DC actually is a team I've been pretty impressed with.
They Orlando Miami. Did get the win in San Jose, actually. Yeah. Okay. But what were you going to say about DC?
DC played Miami last night, and if it wasn't for a 96-minute winner from Campania, it's a 0-0 game. So, you know, DC with Benteke leading the line, and me and John talked about this around a week ago at length. I mean, I like DC's roster a lot. If I'm worried about a team behind us right now, it's definitely Columbus, but I would say number two is DC, because Philly just hasn't shown enough for me yet to really believe in the hype there. And I mean, historically they've been a fantastic team, but I think we can catch up to the New York teams as well as Toronto, just from what I've seen, just watching their games. I mean, we're really tough to break down, so we can silence their, you know, attacking line, and the goals hopefully will come. Then I'm liking where we're sitting at the table.
Yeah, and you know, it's credit to us for getting that match day one win against New York City. They've really Huge. Started to surge ever since then. So those are three really nice points to have in the pocket. We couldn't do the double against them, unfortunately, but Santi Rodriguez nonsense kind of got us. But New York City started to find a real fine form. I don't know what to think of New York Red Bulls. They seem fraudulent to me up there in the top four, and yet they're there. So I mean, you are what your record says you are at a certain point in the sports world, so I can't talk too much trash. But I do look forward for the chance to play Red Bulls and maybe get some playoff match revenge from a Charlotte perspective. Now, Danny, it's funny that you mentioned that Leo Campagna winner, because this is the time of the show where it's conspiracy theory time with Danny Brams, if you will. As we break down the Eastern Conference table, I couldn't help but see that Miami when you look at them, you look at this table, and is there a league conspiracy? Did here's my question. Did the league give Miami the extra game because they've had this extra game on everyone? I don't know what the opposite of a game in hand is. It's the game out of hand, I suppose you'd say. it's the extra match. And like, so if you notice, Inter Miami has 15 games played as opposed to everybody else who has 14 and 13 and then 12 for the bottom dwellers in New England. They had a real rough go of it. But listen to this soundbite. This was Campagna, the man you mentioned, after his sub winner last night. He subbed in and scored within 17 seconds. That's a conspiracy theory of its own, but he did score the goal. So here's what he had to say about the fact that Miami is always at the top of the table because they have that extra game on everybody.
No, it's a good feeling to wake up every day and see Inter Miami top of the table. So I think that's idea. That's our goal. We're going for the trophy, and I think that's the idea of the team also.
So you tell me, Danny, did the league has a vested interest in trying to help Miami play with more confidence, trying to sell, you know, more storylines of, you know, Leo Messi's Inter Miami are in first place and they've been in first place all season. Well, yeah, because they've had the extra game. They, you know, like they're not doing first on points per game since that's Cincinnati. And I think RSL might have a better points per game than Miami also. It just feels a little dicey. Everything seems to be tilted towards Miami, or am I crazy?
And let me put my tinfoil hat on real quick. I feel like that's a fair statement. It'll really just depend on when they don't play and everyone else does. When I guess they have a bye week, maybe somewhere.
And they could have lost. It's not like they won the league went and won those games for them. But if you figure Miami is going to be on having that extra game gives them just that sort of psychological edge on like being first place against other contending teams. I don't know. It's just
I see what you're saying. I'm not sure if I'm co-signing with that. They've also scored significant more goals than anyone else has, and so I think they're the rightful leadership with 36 goals. I mean, Cincinnati's behind them with, you know, a
they've scored almost twice
here.
As many goals as Cincinnati for sure. Yeah, I don't need you to co-sign. Just don't send me off to the loony bin, please, for bringing it up. You know,
I won't. And you know, I think that midweek game against Orlando was big to see without Messi how they do, and they get a hard-earned draw against Orlando away from home. So, you know, I've seen a lot of Miami because it's fun to watch, and I think they're definitely a contender. But I'm not gonna act like Cincinnati or LAFC. Or even RSL could knock them off their perch.
Well, your beautiful segue, my friend, because it is time to sort of look over to the West for a little bit here. And the Rocky Mountain Cup is a RSL Colorado Rapids rivalry. And you also mentioned LAFC. I got to know, how did LAFC let this guy get away, Chicho Arango? We're just going to revel in the greatness of all the 8 goals that are about to be scored here in front of our eyes. And just... you don't have to necessarily comment on every little bit of the piece of action. Cause I just grabbed the whole highlight clip from MLS YouTube. And it's just, this goal is insane. So RSL, they're leading the West, and then all of a sudden they go down at home within 5 minutes to just like some nonsense and a great shot by Cole Bassett. But I don't know where McMath is on that. And it kind of gets to the point of like, oh, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? But they left no doubt. They did it.
It was a comedy of errors, the first 3 goals were. And starting with this one, terrible giveaway in the middle of the pitch. Just so bad. And it honestly gets worse for their second one. I mean, I don't know what this right back's doing here, to be honest.
Is that Andrew Brody, I think?
Mistaken. And then the goalkeeper was caught cheating.
But just way out of position. Yeah, they can't show enough replays of this because they love him. It's really tough. Here's the second goal.
This one's not great either.
Doesn't look good, but RSL is just that team, man. And it's just like Chicho Arango is just like, he was for some reason, all he did for LAFC was score goals. This is actually a chance for Salt Lake. Sorry, I could have cut this down to a little tighter package, but I just,
here it is.
Too much insanity. I just did the whole thing. But yeah. Chicho, all he did for LAFC was score goals, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him. So it's really strange to me that, he was allowed to go to RSL and just continue dominating. And now he might just absolutely burn LAFC. I see what you mean there. That's a real bad error. And a nice little
great chip. Finish, though. Great finish. Great. And they go down 2-0, and then they end up winning this game. Spoiler alert. So they showed the resolve. I think Chicho probably with it, he probably felt like he didn't get enough credit at LAFC. And so now he's the star.
I feel that he didn't get enough credit. Absolutely. For sure.
And he's the star of this team. And he's got Diego Luna on one side, and he's got the Colombian kid, Gomez, on the other side. And
Gomez had a great game here. And he also has Anderson Julio, you know, who made a big contribution off the bench. But there's a great follow-up by Chicho, roofs it in. I just love this guy. I don't know why Charlotte didn't go get this guy instead of Capetti, because LAFC just could not wait to get rid of him. And he's just a baller, man. I mean, he's just a straight-up baller. He follows his own shot. Yeah. You know, he was the original shot on goal there, and then follows his own shot. And, you know, you're down 2-0 after 20 minutes in a derby match, and it's up to your superstars to go fix it, right? And that's just a sick,
what a hit.
Goal by Gomez right there. Just
and it, to tie it up right before halftime, too, is so good for the locker room going in. And see what happens here. But yeah, no, I don't even think Luna played in this game, but it was
Gomez at some point. I don't know if it's his chance or, yeah. I mean, shoot. McMath did all he could there, tried to make up for his early error, but George Mihailovic, another guy that I would love to see come to Charlotte, but hey, what can you say?
Yeah, goalkeeper did everything he could there to try to stop that, but good tap. And so they go down not once, but twice actually in this match, and they still win due to some late game heroics.
Right. So, and it's funny because I have some gambler friends, and we've just been like, just bet on RSL every week. It's just ridiculous. Just bet on RSL every week at this point, because they're just always going to do it. And that was before this match. And then they go down 2-0, and I'm like, maybe we were a little too quick with that bet RSL every week thing. But they really did do it. And these are they're showing the subs here, because this Anderson Julio sub coming in, he ends up playing a huge role in finishing off the comeback. And it's, you know, this chance doesn't lead to a goal here, but it gets to the point where they're like 85 minutes in and they're down 3-2. And then all of a sudden they just turn it on and just go nuts. Late goals, just like the Premier League, late goals in MLS are a big thing as well.
Gotta love it. Yeah. Maybe if you don't want to take RSL straight up, you can always just take the over, because they seem pretty leaky at the back. Oh, that's another really bad mistake here.
That one should have been punished for sure. It. Yeah, and you're thinking, oh, man, are they going to pull off this comeback with a miss like that? But they just never stopped coming. Good decent save by McMath there to keep it at a one goal. This Colorado team I thought would be horrible this year. They're a little bit better than I thought they would be. We'll look at the standings in a minute. But, yeah, look at that. I mean, that's a sick shot from one of their homegrowns, I think, Emeka Anelli. And it goes off the bar, and Chicho's there just to head it home, kind of with an awkwardly timed jump, but he's a force of nature, man. He's unstoppable. He's simply too good. He's much like the driving crooner.
After the 83rd minute, they score three consecutive goals, which is fairly impressive as well.
Right, and they only needed two. You know, they only needed two, and they decided to get a third one, which we'll see in a second. But, I mean, in traffic, jumping up a little off balance to send that header where it needed to be, you know, I mean, it's like – golly, this guy's one of the best players in MLS, and I just don't think he's getting enough love. I really don't.
To generate the power just jumping straight up there with two guys kind of bumping into you, that is a very athletic play.
Right. And look at it, because the two guys are caught napping, and he's focused on the ball the entire time. It's just such a brilliant play from a guy who's just a really, really good striker. Pass. And then this, you know, moments later, just Colorado just completely has gone to sleep. And this is Julio with the finish there, little 1-2 in the box. It's beautiful.
So Chicho with two goals and assists here, completely carrying this team here. And then Gomez with, I think that was Gomez maybe, but and then one more to top it off, like you said.
Yeah, and notice how they're still running a press. They're like still pressing when they could easily have like said, okay, we got the lead, let's park the bus. So yeah, I think that was Gomez on the last one. That's Julio here. They were like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go score another one. You know, might as well. So
fun team to watch. I like their unis too. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah. So I grew up in Utah, and I actually went last year or 2 years ago. I think I was on a road trip around the country in the summer, and I stopped, visited some old friends in Utah, and I went to go see Columbus Crew at RSL. And it was like Lucas De La Rayon and all these, like, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great match. It was one of the worst nil-nil draws that I've ever sat through, and I was really pissed. So seems like ever since then, RSL just has been scoring a bunch. And so they find themselves at the top of the Western table. So just like we did with the Eastern Conference, let's dive into the Western Conference a little bit here. You see San Jose just like stuck down there in the mud at the bottom. KC, Peter Vermees, another candidate for the next sacking, I think, in the league, because they just cannot find form whatsoever. And he's like one of those dudes that's like too loyal to his fading players. But the real action's up at the top, because you got Salt Lake. No one expected them to be there. You got Minnesota without, with two games in hand, Minnesota is somehow in second on the table. Without Bebelo Reynoso, who was like one of the MLS All-Stars, he's just like a total head case. Hasn't really been there all year. He's back in Minnesota. Every time he goes to Argentina, it takes him like 6 weeks longer to get back to the U.S. than he originally had planned. So he is back in Minnesota now, but he's kind of like, it's like, kind of like fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times, shame on all of us situation. So I think they're making moves to get rid of Reynoso, but there they find themselves with like they made us look bad. You remember how dominant Minnesota looked in Charlotte. It shouldn't really be surprised that Lode and the boys are up there in second place. And then you got Austin, which I thought Josh Wolf was, I was calling him the worst manager in the league, but somehow they're on an insane run of form. Driussi's found some form, and Ragone's been unlocked, and Hodder O'Brien is looking nice. And like you look at LAFC, like if you ask just a casual, somewhat knowledgeable MLS fan and said, hey, off the top of your head, who's first in the Western Conference? They play probably LAFC, right? But no, the defending champs are in fifth.
Yeah, and I mean, look at St. Louis. They're the ones who finished top of the Western Conference last year, and they're in, ninth place? So they're struggling. I could see Seattle and Dallas. Dallas started the season very injured, and so they're kind of trying to get up to speed here. So I could see them kind of climb this table here. The West has been equally as tough as the East. And, I don't know. I think we gave a lot of credit to the East to start the season, but the West has been a ton of fun so far.
Yeah, I think everybody was saying, oh, the teams in the East are way better. But the West has been fun. It's been a good time. Good times, great oldies. I got no beef with it. And I'm hoping long may it continue, as Ashley Westwood likes to say. I think I'd have to double check the schedule to see exactly how many matches Charlotte FC has against teams left in the West. But I'm not liking the idea of facing any of those teams now. So we'll see. Do you think LAFC has what it takes to come back once they get Giroux going this summer? And do you think like we're going to see a resurgence of the black and gold or
sure,
defending their title?
Yes, I do.
If you had to pick who's a pretender on this list, if you're looking at like the top five or six, because even Colorado is surprising me. I thought they would be horrible, but Mihailovic has made a big difference in Cole Bassett for them. So I'm thinking who's the biggest pretender up there near the top of the Western standings for you?
I would say probably Austin at number one. And then
you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I am not buying what Austin's putting down here. And then Colorado, especially probably them. To be honest, I think they're going to revert to the mean here, and they'll probably finish around ninth if I had to guess. Because I think that, Seattle and Dallas both have better rosters, and they'll be able to make up some points here and there. And at the end of the season, when we look back, we're going to say, wow, we definitely overreacted here early.
Yeah, I like that tip of Dallas to sort of climb up the table. Some of these other teams fall down. How about it is nice to see. I've kind of like, I was kind of obsessed for a little bit last year of like bagging on St. Louis a lot. And I was like, STL, CSC, FC, United, Rovers or whatever. But I kind of they're not even really worth hating for me anymore, St. Louis. But it is nice to see that like their quote unquote, historic debut season has reverted to the mean, as you said, and things are not looking quite so hot for St. Louis, because you got to build, and life is struggle, and I don't like to see a team just come in and never struggle like LAFC did when they joined the league. We've struggled as a Charlotte FC as a new club in this league, and you got to be tested in the fire a little bit before you taste glory, I feel.
No, absolutely. And if they get Marco Royce, which would be their first DP signing, if you will, I think that could change a lot for them.
Yep. Let's hit that again real quick, because there's a lot of people that have joined us since we hit this off the top, because this was the story of the day. Marco Royce in talks. The Crown has his discovery rights. A few folks, I guess a friend of the show, Johnny Woodard, he found this on Transfer Market. Sources have stressed that Marco Royce has no desire to join Charlotte FC. So I think it's not going to happen, and we'll see about it. If he doesn't want to come, then he's not going to come. So it could just be, you know, the reporting of the discovery rights is nice, because that's something that we could take advantage of in terms of getting some more allocation money. But it does feel a lot like a silly season rumor that just popped up. That not criticizing Tom Bogert at all, but I think if you ask Tom Bogert, I don't think he would say that this signing is really probably going to happen. So we'll see.
Yeah, still going to have wishful thinking here, but yeah, no, at the end of the day, we'll have to see kind of what happens. And I'm super pumped to see more rumors come out of who we could sign.
Right.
Boy, right. Do we need them.
Maybe some more concrete rumors. Shout out to my friends So Rare in the States, a great podcast about fantasy soccer that anyone should check out. Kalina is massive. Yes, he is. Kalina really, surprisingly, Kalina was not the man of the match, but I really thought probably he should be. As much as I love to see Andy Privet go up there, felt like a Kalina man of the match, especially with that final save. So we got a couple minutes here left, Danny, and I know we're focused on MLS Roundup here, but let's spin it forward. Let's sort of tease what's coming soon on from you, because on your full-time Roundup show that you do with Geslin, I think Johnny Hayes is going to sit in on this potentially midweek. We're going to be talking about a lot of the action that went on in the Premier League. It was the Premier League final Sunday that we had to wait for that all. We were watching those games before we could get started on going live on this one. So what, any quick thoughts on just like how things ended up in the Premier League? I like to say, London is red, Manchester's blue, but without Sheikh Mansour, they'd be in League Two. So, I don't really respect Man City, because I think they have just completely bought their entire team. At the same time, they do perform, and Arsenal, a season where they get more points on the table than the Invincibles season, where they never lost, and yet they have no trophies to show for it.
Brutal. Brutal if you're an Arsenal fan. No doubt about that. And it's less about Arsenal losing the Premier League title and more of Manchester City winning it. Because at the end of the day, they are the best team. They have the most resources. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was always going to happen. Now, West Ham and Everton did make it fairly interesting today, with Everton going up on Arsenal. And then, you know, City did go up too, but then they had a nice little run here, 2-1, and then made it almost 3-2, but a VAR called off goal.
Yeah, it was so pretty late. The 3-2 was like near stoppage time anyway, so it wouldn't matter. But when it was 2-1 and Kudus had the overhead kick to pin one back for West Ham, my heart was hoping just a little bit, for sure.
It was PTSD for me from 2 years ago when City played Villa and Liverpool played Wolves, and Aston Villa goes up on City and Liverpool is in pole position, and then Manchester City inevitably go and win the game, and we miss out on the title by 1 point. So, Danny, we are one in the same here.
That match was referenced several times by several different commentary teams around the league, for sure. Just real quick, I know you're going to get way into this on full-time Roundup, but adios Jurgen Klopp. Wiedersehen, you know, he's finally gone. And how do you feel? Are you going to be okay in a post-Klopp world as a Liverpool fan?
We'll have to see. I mean, the videos and the content being pushed right now has made me a little sad. But I feel like we got a nice send-off in the last game. I'm glad we won that game pretty comfortably. He got a nice swan song after the game and everything. And I thought, you know, Jurgen Klopp going and then chanting the new manager, Arne Slot's name at the end, what a classy move
from him. Class.
And I mean, Jurgen's just the best. And one of the best coaches in the world and one of the best Liverpool coaches of all time. So going to large void to fill for sure. But we'll kind of see what happens. Front office pieces are moving here. So maybe they'll be able to build more around Liverpool and less around Jurgen in a way, because Jurgen had full autonomy. So we'll see how that goes. But
I don't know.
I'm, I'm going to try to be as optimistic as I can.
I'm sure, like most Liverpool fans, you're just waiting for the day that Arne Slot is fired and Xabi Alonso comes in to then take over and reclaim everything, just like Arteta did, you know, the former captain coming back to the club.
That could be true. Yeah. One can dream, Danny. One can dream.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, hopefully Slot does well. We have a lot of Liverpool fans in the Charlotte FC fan base, a lot of Liverpool fans that are friends of mine. So definitely wishing y'all well for sure. And I can't wait till Jurgen Klopp is the coach of the U.S. men's national team after we crash out of Copa America. But we got like a minute left here, just real quick. We got one huge match left in Europe coming up midweek here, Europa League final. Who do you like? Is it Leverkusen all the way or what?
I mean, they got to be unbeaten all season, right? But this is going to be one of the biggest tests all season against a really good Atalanta side. Atalanta also lost the Coppa Italia, the Italian Cup, basically, midweek against Juventus. So they've been left with a really bad taste in their mouth. And they've already kind of locked up Champions League football for Serie A. So I think Gasperini and the Bergamo men are really going to give Xabi Alonso and his men a run for their money. But I only see Bayer Leverkusen winning this one, unfortunately.
I mean, Leverkusen has been touched by an angel all season, even matches they didn't need to win, but they just wanted still to win for their perfect record. They would have these insane comebacks. So good on them. I don't see any way they lose in the Europa League, but we shall see. That's why they play the games. And so we've been going for a good hour here live on YouTube, on X, on Instagram. We appreciate everyone who chimed in and watched. I think at one point we might have I saw a comment from Lad on Fire that we might have gotten reported on YouTube. So hopefully we're still live up there. Who knows? I probably should, that long clip of the Rocky Mountain Cup was probably a little bit too much. I should tighten that one, but hopefully we will not get the channel banned. It is a two Danny's edition of the Charlotte Soccer Show MLS Roundup. Thank you so much, Danny. Two Danny B's, in fact. Two Danny B-R-A's, in fact. So we, I don't know, my brother from another mother. I don't know how it turned out that we got so close, but it's been a pleasure talking with you and hearing your perspective. I love the way that you think about the game. A tremendous friend of the show and now a tremendous contributor to the show. So thank you, Danny, and send us out, my friend.
For the crown, baby.